It's time.
Just us chickens.
Yeah. Well, good evening, church. Welcome to Sunday evening service at Thomas Village Baptist Church. I'd like to welcome all those out there in Facebook land, and if you're in the parking lot listening on the radio, and we're going to have to sing without a pianist tonight because we don't have one, so but I believe we can do it. We're singing to the Lord, so let's stand and sing number 387, Blessed Be the Tie, and I will attempt to lead you in it. 387.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Amen. Thank you. Song leader Ken.
We didn't advertise the fifth Sunday night singing. There's four fifth Sundays in the year. Five, actually, if you count December. But that'll be we'll be in church that night, and we'll probably be doing the Lord's Supper as we did it on Christmas Day this past year. We'll probably do it on New Year's. But it's a time that we can sing together. If you remember at Christmas, we had our singing. You remember we just one night without the piano, I picked the songs and Sister Caitlin led us. You were out of town. And I've had some people tell us that they enjoyed that it was a refreshing and enjoyable evening. And so we're gonna try to advertise it. Lord willing, the next month, which I've got a schedule, the deacons, I've sat down with them, we'll try to get out a sign-up sheet so people can be aware. But like I said, you know, we've got a lot of young men, young women that play instruments. I would love to see them doing instrumentals, maybe together, maybe apart. Maybe you have a talent that you ain't showed nobody in a while. Pick a guitar, play drums or something. And then also, if you write poems or things like that, come and read them and let your spiritual gifts be a blessing to others. Before we go into the Lord's Supper, we are going to do the Lord's Supper tonight. I want us to have our time of prayer. And two, if you want to look up a song that we can sing a song together, I might pick us out one and sing that one. But if, like I said, you might have to lead it if we ain't never heard it before. But if you're watching this by Facebook, listening by the radio, it's good to be with you. Thankful that you've made time to allow us to be in your life. And we pray that through the ministry of Thomas Village Baptist Church, that your relationship with Christ will grow. And this is what we desire for anyone, that it'll grow and that you'll become more in tune with his will and help grow his kingdom. Do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. Amen. Sweet spirit in here. Conviction, but also love. I mean, you have both. That's the awesome thing about the Holy Ghost, ain't it? That he can do both. It's amazing. As we're going to be talking about the Lord's Supper tonight, if you look in John, what we read this morning is basically from John 13:1 to the last verse in John 17. All of that is John's account of the upper room. And what's neat is the other three, we're going to read those tonight. We see the instituting of the Lord's Supper, how it becomes a part. You know, as Jesus says, I'll not eat of this again, but every time you do eat of it, you do show forth the Lord's return, his promises. But John doesn't focus on what they focus on. He focuses on the service, and I'll give you the scripture. The only thing that John focuses on the meal is it is through, remember, the dipping of the sopping of the bread that Judas is declared to be the betrayer. That's the main thing that John focuses on. But so do we have any words of praise or testimony as we get into our prayer time tonight? I am thankful, like Brother said, we had a good service this morning. I was able to spend some time with Sister Sally Grebe this afternoon, about 30 or 40 minutes, and she wanted the church to know she loves you, she misses you, and she appreciates everyone asking, what can we do for you? And she said, but there ain't nothing you can really do for her. Just keep praying for her. And pray for her physical healing, but also her mental healing. She's just not able to. It's some of it's the infection, some of it's the medication, is what she was saying to me. But they did say that she's not drinking enough water. And so they need to get water in her, and they put her on fluids this afternoon. But thank God that she's able to talk with us. We want to pray for those that are lost, those that don't know Jesus Christ. And as we talk about that, let's pray that God give us a burden for the lost. Pray for those that have lost loved ones. I do have a card from Brother Jeff and Sister Amy thanking the church, and Lord willing, I'll read it next Sunday. Continue to lift up Sister Bridget Holmes. How's she doing? How's her knee, brother? We'll keep praying for her. Henry, go ahead. I'm sorry. I tell you what, anymore, through our people, it's almost 2 months before you can. It has to be scheduled for a month and then it to get to it. So we want to pray for Sister Jeannie and Brother Mark as they're healing. Brother Roy and Sister Phyllis as he's adjusting to the way that it's so different, the hearing. Miss Denise Mosher and Danielle and all that's going on with them physically and spiritually. Herman Sampson, how's he doing? We'll keep praying. And then we want to pray for Sister Fleeta and Brother Toddy's neighbor, Mr. Townsend, as it looks pretty assuredly that he has mouth and throat cancer. Leonard and Nancy Roten, Brother Danny and Sister Sherry, I do thank God he said that he was feeling better than he had today as we were talking with him. Sister Sherry's brother for salvation. Colt Addison, Carol Edwards, Jesse Bull, Pam Savarsky, Chris Harmon, cancer, Eddie and Michelle Bishop, Shirley Bledsoe, Sister Caitlin has already admitted, and they've got her, and Lord willing, the baby girl. Have they said the name yet? Do we know the name?
Hannah.
Hannah Crystal.
Chris Lee.
I tell you what, and babies grow fast. Old Miles, he's making a man. And his old neck's starting to stiffen up a little bit, and he's able to look around. Lottie Johnson, Peggy DeBoard, Molly Edwards, Moselle Carter, Helen Bowen, Lydia Hensley, Moni Robbins, Caleb and Leah Richardson, Terry Hall, David and Eddie Duncan, Donna and Amanda Campbell, Linda Phillips, Kay and Fuller Russell, Charlie Taylor, Fred and Shirley Sullivan, Peggy Stollard, Tom Sparks, Jim Smith, Rick Sawyers, also the Woody Dillon family, Charlie Moore, Michelle Miller, Bo Griffin, Joyce Smith, Steve Neff, he's doing well, on the mend after they've had did more surgery, but he's back in the pulpit once a week preaching. So we give God the praise for that. Patsy Scarupa, Shelby Peblo, Roger Solis, Lynn Baez, Lynn Phillips, Linda Jeanette Brogan, and then our ministries here at Thomas Village, the struggling homes and marriages, our nation's leaders, the shut-ins. Then there was Marianne Mullins. This is Ted Mullins' wife that's had surgery. Those with the stomach virus, I talked with or texted with Brother John this afternoon, and he was doing some better, but he was still kindly wondering what he needed to put on his stomach. Mama's having surgery on her knee on March the 18th, and Sister Peggy's having hers on February the 21st. Tammy Bledsoe is under the weather. How's she doing this evening, Sister? Thank you. And then Dolly Baldwin, Sister Melissa, she's doing better, but if y'all heard, she's still got the cough and all. Kevin Mullins, G.W. White, Whitney Worley, and Kennedy Sweeney. Brother, your daughter. I can't read my own writing. Huh? Kennedy. Anybody else we need to add tonight or take off? He did pass away? That's the family, okay. Anyone else? Darcy Tomlinson? R.C. Anyone else? All right, again, we remind you that the altar is always open. But I'm going to ask Brother Keith, if he would, to lead us in a word of prayer over our needs tonight and just to invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. Amen. All right. Before we go into our scriptures tonight, is there anyone got a song on your heart, old hymn? Or maybe you brought you came with a song to sing to us or to the Lord and we get to listen. Anybody? I've got one. It's kindly to a gunner. The way we was raised, you know this song and you know the page number in the Baptist hymnal. That's just the way it is. But before we do it, anybody else? Page 407. Turn to page 407 in your Baptist hymnal. You know what it is, Ken? Hey, that's one you ought to know by heart, right? Because He Lives. You want to lead it? Come lead it. You the song leader.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus, He came to love, heal and forgive, He lived and died to buy my pardon. To prove my Savior lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives, all fear is gone, because I know. Because
sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
All right, tonight we're going to look at where each account of the instituting of the Lord's Supper. So we'll begin in Matthew chapter 26. Then we'll go to Mark chapter 14, and then Luke chapter 22. Now in each of these accounts, Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22, there's only going to be anywhere from 3 to 5 or 6 verses, but each one gives their own kind of take on it, but also they confirm each other. And then we'll also be reading Paul's account that he gives to the church at Corinth in Corinthians chapter 11, but we'll do that as we get into the Lord's Supper itself. All right, Matthew chapter 26. Now, again, this morning we read John's account of the upper room experience, or the beginning of it, the first 17 verses that's there. But John actually spends more time at the Lord's Supper or in his accounts than the others do combined. He takes 13 through 17. So 4 full chapters he's talking about what went on. And if you remember, that's where they talk about not only the arriving of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Comforter, but he also talks about how that in 14, he says, if I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You can't come right now, but if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you so that we can be together forever. And if it wasn't true, I wouldn't say these things. So John's real in depth, so we're not going to look at that. But look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. Are you there? All right. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it. He gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took a cup after giving thanks. He gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, For this is my blood that establishes the covenant. It is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, from this moment, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in my Father's kingdom with you. After singing psalms, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So now turn over to the book of Mark, chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and as you're turning there, if you remember, this, the Lord's Supper, is built on which Jewish feast? The Passover. And the Passover meal has three cups. If you remember, Brother Paul took us last year to the Seder meal, and there were three cups, and you drank of those three cups, and you would dip the bread, and all of it has significant meaning. But it is Christ building on top of that reality. If you remember, the Passover is the when they were in Egypt and they had to slay the lamb, the spotless lamb, and had to apply the blood to the doorpost. And as long as you had the blood applied to your home, then the death angel would pass over. But if not, then you would experience death. And it was a foreshadowing of the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world. All right, Mark chapter 14, verse 22. Mark 14, 22. As they were eating, he took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to them and said, take it, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and so they all drank from it. Jesus said to them, this is my blood that establishes the covenant. It is shed for many. I assure you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in a new way in the kingdom of God. After singing psalms, they went to the Mount of Olives. All right, Luke 22. But do you notice how Mark and Luke are basically identical? They're almost verbatim, word for word there. Many think that one might have copied the other, that Mark may have copied Matthew. But and remember, John Mark is believed to be the, in the account, remember, one of when they go into the garden and there's a young man there that's clothed in linen and he runs away. Many believe that that is Mark, John Mark there. All right, Luke 22, verse 14. Luke 22, verse 14. You there? All righty. When the hour came, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, I have fervently or with a burning desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now, notice how that in Matthew and Mark, it simply goes to, I'm not going to drink wine. I'm not going to sip this wine. But in Luke, we're told that I'm not going to partake of this meal. I'm waiting to eat this meal again. And what will be that meal? You remember it's in Revelation. I preached a sermon on it about 6 months ago. The marriage supper of the Lamb, when the bride of Christ, which is the church, is, and that's believers from the Old Testament, New Testament, and whatever dispensation is to come, that they'll be together. And that's where Christ will eat or and drink from the cup. All right, Luke 22, 17. So he's not going to eat this again. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we see there that it is an instruction by Christ, not just that one-time thing that they experienced just as the 12 in him, but he's saying, do this often. Because when you do this, you're expressing me. You're showing a love for me, and you're declaring, you're remembering me. So we see that it's been passed on. The apostles passed it on to the church, not because it's a sacred thing and it brings salvation, but Christ has instructed us to do it and to remember and also to look ahead. Verse 20, in the same way he also took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant established by my blood. It is shed for you. But look, the hand of the one betraying me is at the table with me. For the Son of Man will go away as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. So they began to argue among themselves which of them it could be who was going to do this thing. Now, is it just me, or does it sound like that the apostles, the disciples, like to fuss and argue with one another? Remember this morning, what were they arguing about? Who's the greatest? I'm better than you are. He loves me more than you. Just like youngins or something like that. I'm the favorite child in this bunch, and you just better know it. And then they're fighting about, well, I'm not going to betray him. And what do we see? Everybody but John basically walks away from him. But that kind of, you know, makes me feel a little bit better, because I know I can be childish and things in my life. But Jesus is long-suffering. So any thoughts about the Lord's Supper? Anything that just stands out to you? Maybe your first Lord's Supper. I remember as a boy that, you know, we was raised up and we did it regular in the churches where Daddy pastored at. I remember one time I got tickled in the middle of it and I spilt the juice in the middle. And man, I got a whipping for that. And I'll never forget that one. I never again get tickled in the Lord's Supper, or I try not to. But it was always something special, and like I said, I don't like to add it on. But the neat thing, as you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is that we know that Matthew was there. I mean, he was at the Lord's Supper. It was a firsthand account. And then we know that Mark was closely tied to the apostles. I mean, the traditions and the things that went on, he probably received firsthand account of it from maybe Matthew himself or one of the other of the apostles. But then there's also the instruction that Paul gives to the church at Corinth. And the neat thing is notice that he says, I didn't get this from any of the apostles. Nobody told me about this. He says, what I have received of the Lord, I gave to you. That God has showed him this. And again, this is instruction. We only have two ordinances as Baptists that we hold to. Really, as evangelicals or Protestants, there's two. And that is baptism, which is, again, it's not a means of salvation. It's an expression of salvation. And then we hold fast to the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. You there? Okay. Also, I want to mention Sister Betty Thompson. Let's pray for her as she's had that stomach bug today as well. And just lift her up. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? I do not praise you. Now, we have scaled back the Lord's Supper from what it was. What we see here is that it was called the Love Feast. It was built on the meal, the Passover meal. How long did it take when we went to that thing? At least an hour to go through all the three cups of the Passover meal and the reading of Scripture. And I think they also would sing songs if you were actually doing it in the Hebrew custom. And the tradition is that you come together and then you enjoy the meal together. You eat together. And then sometimes it's in there, you specifically recognize the cup and the bread, that is the blood and the body. But it says here that they were having this meal, but instead of coming together in love, they came, they would bring their own food, eat it all up, bring their own wine, drink it all up, and be drunk, while people that were working, say, they would come in late, have nothing to eat. And it was basically being a time where they would show, well, we've got food, we've got wine, you don't, we're better than you are. And it goes back to this morning. Remember, the servant, the humility, it was completely opposite here at Corinth than what Christ has established it to be, as a time of humility and humbleness where you come together under the banner and the blood of Jesus Christ. So Paul goes on in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So tonight, when we take that bite of cracker or bread, it is an expression of us honoring and remembering the body that was broken by our Lord and Savior. And then when we take the sup out of the little cup, we're recognizing the blood that he shed that doesn't simply cover sins, but for the remission of sins. It removes the stain and guilt of sin. For verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. But let a man or a woman examine themselves, and so let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to themselves, not discerning or not fully understanding and recognizing the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged of God. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So, again, the idea of unworthy, none of us are worthy. And here's the truth. All of us are guilty of the body and the blood of Christ, because it was my sins that he paid a penalty for. It was the sins of the world that he paid the penalty for. And specifically tonight, if Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you've come to a point to recognize that it was also your sins that he was nailed on the cross. To come unworthily means that we are not respecting the sacrifice. That we're living our life in a manner, maybe we're haughty, we're prideful, we're arrogant. Maybe it's something else in our life, some small fox that we've allowed into our life to consistently defeat us. And so tonight, before we come to the table, and I'm going to ask Brother Ken and Brother Keith, if y'all would, to help me. I think the two of you can do it tonight. But I want us just to take some time and to ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and bring whatever might be in our lives, to give it to him, so that we can come to the Lord's table in peace and harmony with him. Let's pray. Take a few moments. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I come before you tonight, Lord, just letting you know that I do love you. And Lord, though my life and my actions may not always declare it, I'm thankful for the sacrifice of your Son. I'm thankful for the blood and for the body that was broken and shed. And God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins where I fall short. Lord, you know the areas and the situations and issues in my life that, Lord, the devil uses and the flesh fights and tries to draw me away. And God, I just thank you tonight that you won't allow me to be eternally drawn away, that you hold me, you keep me. And as you said this morning you in your word, you've not lost any. You cannot lose any because the Father has given them to you. Give me to you. And Lord, tonight as we come together, we're thankful that you've invited us. You've made a place at your table. You've made a place for us in your kingdom. And God, I thank you tonight that you allow us to come. And so tonight as we come, Lord, in Jesus' name, we want to honor you. We want to lift you up, Heavenly Father, Lord. And we want to do that by making much of your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come into this place. You're already here. But Lord, let us tonight just enjoy being at the Lord's table. God, along with the apostles, along with those believers back in the Old Testament from the first Passover, the promise of the Lamb. God, and we look ahead tonight to the marriage supper. Lord, we'll feast for who knows how long. God, we're thankful, Lord, that you've brought us to this place. God, we pray for those tonight that can't be with us. Pray that you bless them and let their hearts be drawn closer to you as well. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Brother Keith and Brother Ken.
And we'll just sign off on the Facebook tonight. God